Monique Coulter is Audit Director at the Office of Inspector General at the United States Postal Service, and Monique and her team looking at workers' compensation claims at the Postal Service. Monique, thank you for joining me today. What exactly did you look at? What did you want to find out when you started this work?
Thank you for having me, Francis. We started this work a couple years ago, and this white paper summarizes prior audit reports that we've issued looking at the Postal Service Workers' Compensation Program and the challenges it has with the FECA.
The FECA has been around since 1916, and it governs how federal employees can collect medical compensation, death, vocational rehabilitation benefits when somebody gets injured. What specifically did you want to look at FECA and how it's executed within the Postal Service, Monique?
Well, our concern is that the Postal Service paid about $1.3 billion in workers' compensation claims and $67 million in administrative fees from June 2012 through June 2013. To address the declining revenue and mail volume, the Postal Service has been successful in decreasing the number of employees through attrition and retirement incentives. Despite these efforts, the Postal Service workers' compensation costs have increased.
So you've gone from the Postal Service has gone from 765,000 employees approximately in 2008 down to about 617,000 in 2013 through that attrition and retirement operation that you talked about a moment ago. But your work here says that workers' comp costs have increased 35%. What were the warning signs that you saw that first prompted you a couple of years ago to draw that conclusion? I mean, it's obvious once you look at the numbers, but what drew your attention to those numbers, Monique?
Well, what drew us to those numbers is that we knew the Postal Service had taken great efforts in reducing their attrition, and we knew that mail volume was decreasing. Some of the reasons why the compensation costs have risen is because there was a reduced number of light duty positions available because of automation and lower mail volume. An older workforce which experienced greater impairments from injuries and take longer time to recover, and an increased cost due to cost of living adjustments. But in addition, Francis, workers' compensation fraud is costly to the Postal Service, and our special agents obtained about $52 million in medical and disability judgments and halted future compensation costs of about $290 million in fiscal years 2012 and 2013.
So that's going out and finding people who were collecting benefits that shouldn't have been collecting benefits and either getting money back and or stopping the Postal Service from having to pay out more to those folks in the future. Am I on target there?
Yes, you're correct. And not only employees, but health providers also were committing fraud. And I can give you a few examples.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We had a mail carrier allege his workplace injury induced stress, and he had a fear of crowds and public places, which severely affected his lifestyle. But our surveillance and undercover operations revealed the carrier regularly participated in bowling tournaments and frequently traveled to casinos in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be a place you'd go if you were afraid of crowds.
And then we had a health provider submitted billings to federal health care programs for medical treatment not actually provided to more than 40 Postal Service employees. In this case, the presiding judge sentenced the provider to 5 years probation and 12 months of home confinement.
So this is not just a monetary situation. These are folks who are actually breaking FECA. It's law, my understanding is, and so there is not just a restitution issue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
My guest is Monique Coulter. She's Audit Director at the Office of Inspector General at the United States Postal Service. You and your colleagues, Monique, are making some recommendations about ways to contain these costs moving forward, and I'd like to walk through each of those individually. First is limits on the duration and amount of benefits. What are the provisions for FECA now, and what do you think would make more sense for the Postal Service, especially given the economic situation that it's in right now?
FECA does not have age or time limits for benefits. We've We've done some research looking at best practices in with state government and the private sector, and we found that some state statutes regulate the duration and amount of compensation claims. So without age and compensation limits, employees lack incentives to return to work, which lowers productivity and increases cost.
And it strikes me, too, that that one's important because of what you mentioned earlier about the trend in the workforce composition at the Postal Service. It continues to age, and it continues to shrink, and especially the age issue. If there's no cap on those, that seems to me to indicate an exponential increase in the future rather than something more linear that's easier to predict.
That's correct.
The second one is on settlements and buyouts. What changes would you like to see on settlements and buyouts?
Benchmarking has shown an increase in workers' compensation case settlements in lieu of periodic payments, and that settlements paid in workers' compensation cases appear to encourage people to return to work because they bring closure to the incidents. However, the Postal Service is constrained by FICA, which does not allow settlement of workers' compensation cases unless it involves a third-party liability. So if the Postal Service were allowed to settle or buy out cases, the Postal Service could decrease its workers' compensation expenses.
The next item on your list is employer-selected physicians. And from reading deep into the report, Monique, the sense that I got was that if the Postal Service or its designee was choosing the physician that an employee went to see, it would reduce the likelihood that I would go to my brother, the doctor, and he would fix me up with whatever I wanted, and that the Postal Service would have to foot the bill for that. There would kind of be a layer of objectivity in potentially in the diagnoses and in the prescription of care.
That's correct, because FICA allows claimants to choose their own physicians, and it's vulnerable. That makes the Postal Service very vulnerable to fraud.
The next item on the recommendation list that you have is return to work and rehabilitation programs. Is there a requirement now that an employee go through some kind of rehabilitation process to continue to collect benefits, or is there an expectation that at some point he or she will be able to return to work, or is that really open-ended right now, Monique?
It's very limited. We found that the Postal Service and the private sector use return-to-work programs. However, with FICA, only allows permanently disabled employees to participate in these type of programs. So therefore, it is not applicable to all the type of employees that participate in FICA.
So if I just hurt my hand or something in a fall and otherwise I'm fine, I'm not eligible for a rehab program or a return to work program. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And the last one is generic drug requirements. And I imagine that's the same situation here as we see in every other kind of healthcare environment where generic drugs wind up saving a lot of money for the provider, whether it's the health insurance company or the employer, because they're less expensive. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. And FICA currently allows Postal Service employees with approved workers' compensation claims to choose brand name or generic. So they still give them the option to use brand name.
All right. And what else should we know about this, Monique? What is the action that would have to take place in order for these changes to happen? Is it an act of Congress? Would they have to go through and amend FICA? Or what has to happen next?
It would require legislative changes to FICA. So therefore, the Postal Service has limited cost containment options.